We're in the middle of a series called Frequently Asked Questions, or FAQ, and we've been asking questions that we felt like are being asked out in the public, not necessarily in the pew, but in the public. We've dealt with, is homosexuality a sin? We dealt with that about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then Pastor Brian opened up also with why do bad things happen? Last week we talked about does the Bible matter today? Now, so here's what I want to do. If you'll just give me about 2 minutes, I want to address what happened this past week with the Supreme Court and then what we are to do about it. Because I preached the sermon last week, does the Bible matter today? And I told you this. I said, the Bible really is only going to matter as much as it matters to the church. In other words, if it doesn't matter to us in here, then the world is going to think, what's to it? So they've got to see the Bible lived out in shoe leather from the church and spoken from our lips to know that Jesus is God, that He'll forgive our sins, that He'll save us and all that. And so all of that being said, does the Bible matter today in light of what happened this past week? I'm not going to take the time to read it because we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures here in a moment. But when you go home today, if you want to see where we are right this very moment, you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, all of chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what you're going to see is it says, perilous times will come. Folks, not will come, they're here, they're now. But won't you listen, when you get on down there to about verse 12, it says, anyone who wants to live godly. If anyone who desires to live godly, they will suffer persecution. So get ready. Get ready. Can I just say this? Please hear me. Please hear me. Our God in heaven is not wringing His hands and sweating, wondering what to do. He is still on the throne. He hasn't panicked. And the church of the living God, listen, am I disappointed? Yes, I'm disappointed. Am I heartbroken? Yes, I'm heartbroken. Am I a little angry? Yes, I'm a little angry. But not only that, dear friends, if I'm not mistaken, when I got saved, Jesus said, I've come to make you a fisher of men. Listen, when you go fishing, if you could see inside the pond or the lake and you never saw any fish, but I said, come on, I want you to go fishing with me, you'd say, but if we went to a pond or a lake and it was stocked full of fish because you're coming to fish, you would say, "Woo, let's get the casting." This world, 4.2 billion people are lost. This world is full of lost people. Let's get our rod and reel and start fishing. Amen. Well, Pastor, what do we do? Don't panic. Hey, listen, John 16:33 says, be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. You got to understand that my Bible says that as the day approaches when Jesus, the day of His return nears, you got to understand, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And so the worse it gets, the more we ought to say, Gabriel's licking his lips. I'm telling you, dear friends, He's on His way back. And so with one ear, we ought to be listening and be looking. But with our mouths and our lives, we ought to be spreading the gospel. And can I just, since I'm your pastor, the only ones here are us right now, right? And people will be watching it on the internet. I want to say something. In my sermon on homosexuality, I told you, whatever you do, don't push them away. My goodness. I've got a good friend of mine who's a preacher. And he said, boy, I'm so glad seeing everybody with these rainbow flags everywhere. He said, it makes you easier to spot so I can unfriend you. And I'm thinking, just hear me. I know that's so silly, but I'm just telling you, hear me. The last thing you want to do, why don't you make more friends with sinners? That's what Jesus did. If we're not careful, we hang around nothing but saved folk, and we never know anybody who needs to know Jesus. Right. You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait to have a ton of sinners that haven't been saved fill this church. Notice what I said there. Sinners who haven't been saved, because we're all sinners. My goodness, can we really say we're doing our job if all we ever do is meet and we're all saved in here, man? Where are the homosexuals? Where are the prostitutes? Where are the drunks? Let's get them off the street. I'm telling you, let's let them see that this is a beacon of hope. We have the only cure for mankind's worst disease, which is sin. Okay? Thank y'all. I love you. So, therefore, amen. He is faithful. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I tell you what the world doesn't need to see. They don't need to see churches fighting on the inside and outside. My heart breaks right now for some churches that I know right now are just being led of Satan and doing the work of Satan and doing things that, I'm telling you what, every now and then, Pastor Hosey, I think a pastor ought to be able to fire a church instead of a church fire a pastor. Not you. Y'all are awesome. Is there a creator? Genesis 1, verse 1. Please stand in honor of reading this incredible word. Genesis 1, verse 1. Listen to what it says. In the beginning, God. Have you ever thought that he doesn't even go into trying to explain himself? He just says, in the beginning, me. God created the heavens and the earth. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, God, I pray your anointing upon everything that happens in this service. God, you already have. Thank you so much for leading us to bow our knee before you and repent, God, of racism, of our own sin, God, of depravity, of God, just forgetting of how blessed we are in this nation. And Lord, just help us not to panic, Lord. Right now, Lord, now more than ever, the church better know your word that you wrote to us, Lord. So let us not listen to the news or not necessarily secular books, but God, let us listen to your spirit through your word to know how to live. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The name Genesis, the word Genesis means beginning. It's taken from the first phrase of Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning, and it could literally just say, in the beginning, Genesis. That is what it means. So in this statement, here in this one statement, it defies human comprehension and human understanding. It's a statement about God. It's a very simple statement, but it's a statement. The statement is comprehended. It is people do not understand it in the entire universe. But there are people right now who still cannot grasp the concept of a creator. Now, you're going to find many things when you study God's word. You're going to find the story of man, the story of the fall, the story of redemption, but ultimately this book is about God. Folks, this book is about how God the Creator, and I'm going to show you at the conclusion of this message, created this world because he loves you. He created this world to be inhabited. That's what's incredible. He created the entire universe and put this world in it so that it could be inhabited by you because of one reason. He loves us. Our God loves us. It is a book about God and how he wants to bring you into a personal relationship with himself. You're going to notice that in the Bible makes no attempt to argue or prove the existence of God. It just simply opens up with this, in the beginning, God. And so here's what I want to do. That's a foundational fact, by the way. If you don't get that foundational fact, nothing else in the Bible is going to make sense. Matter of fact, I want you to listen to this. If we can't believe Genesis 1:1, we can't believe John 3:16. If you can't believe that in the beginning God, you can't believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you can't believe in creation, there's no reason to believe in the resurrection. You must, first of all, get that God created this world. Is there a creator? So here's what I want to do. I want to brag on this creator. I just want to share with you three facts about this creator. The God of creation, number one, is a personal God. The God of creation is a personal God. The word translated here for God is the word Elohim. It's in the Hebrew word Elohim. It's the most used word for God in all of the Bible. It is mentioned about 2,700 times in the Word of God. In the beginning, God, or you could really say in the beginning, Elohim. The word Elohim means this. Listen to this. It means majesty, honor, and power. It is a statement about a personal God and a God who is real. So I got to thinking about this. How is this God personal? So he has some personal characteristics. Verse 2, it says this. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Now here's what I want you to see out of those verses. It says, God says, our God can speak. Verse 4 says, God saw, our God can see. It says that God saw it, that it was good. That means that God has feelings. You see, God possesses the marks of personality. He has a mind, he can think. He has a heart, he can feel. Our God has a will, he can act. The God of the Bible, the God of this universe, the God of creation is a personal God. And this personal God said, I want to have a one-on-one relationship with you. Listen to these verses. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times or various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, and upholding all things by the word of his power, made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you understand that? Did you see what he just said? He made the worlds. He did it all by himself. He doesn't need us. What about John 17:3? And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So I wanted to state this foundational fact. Number one, our God is a personal, creation God. So he's personal. In creation, our God is personal. Number two, the God of creation is not only a personal God, he's an eternal God. He's an eternal God. In the beginning, God. And it doesn't say when that was. It doesn't say how that was. Think about this. It just simply says, in the beginning, God. Whenever the universe was created, however old it may be, whenever it was that time began, in that moment, God was already there. Wow. Let me say that one more time. I don't know when time began, but whenever it did, God was already there. You've got to understand, there was a time when you were not. There will never be a time when you will not be. But there was never been a time that God was not. Our God is an eternal God. Psalm 90, verse 2. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In the Hebrew language, whenever a word ends with I am, it always means it's plural. So it's in the plural noun here. It's a plural noun here where it says in the beginning, Elohim, plural. Some call it a plural of majesty. It raises some questions because here's what it says in the beginning, God, Elohim, plural. So what does that mean? Wait a minute, many gods, what does it mean? Well, you know what it means as a good Bible-believing Christian. It means that the Trinity took part in creation. It means that in verse 26, he says this, then God said, let us make man in our own image. Let us. Now, who in the world are the us? The noun for God is plural, But the verb there is singular. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created, singular. So, gods, plural, but it's not many gods, it's one God expressed in three different ways. Just like water. We don't understand the Trinity, but water can have a liquid form, a gas form and steam, and a solid form in ice. I'm pastor to you, I'm husband to Lenora, but I'm daddy to my kids. I'm the same person. I told you this before. They're three in one and one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. That's why I've always understood the Trinity. Somebody says, I don't understand the Trinity. Well, I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to stick my finger in a light socket. My daddy used to say this, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and get white milk. And folks, here's the deal. The Bible says that God is one God, yet he is expressed in three different persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now somebody says, well, if you deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul, but if you try to explain the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. Well, here's what I want to show you. I want to show you how all three had a part in creation. God the Father, Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. God the Father made it. Number two, what about God the Son? John, speaking of Jesus, said this in John 1:3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus. Wait. Did you hear that? If it's here, he made it. If it's not here, he didn't make it. God had a part in creation. Jesus had a part in creation. What about the Holy Spirit? Psalm 104, verse 30. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. He's speaking of everything that's been created in the world. So God the Father had a part in creation. God the Son had a part in creation. God the Holy Spirit had a part in creation. The Bible tells us that God is the eternal God. He never had a beginning. He will never have an ending. He has always been and he always is. He is the eternal God. Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord and I change not. Right. Hear me, dear friends. That's why people say, well, the Word of God is out of date. What are you believers going to do? Do you understand? Do you understand that no other book has been attacked like this book? And no other God has been attacked like our God? It's crazy to me how every other religion on earth just began to exist when our God created the world. I'm telling you, our God is eternal. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, the eternal God is your refuge. Hey church, who is a little beaten? Somebody put on social media the other day, they said, boy, God's had a bad week this week. Are y'all kidding me? Are y'all listening to me? This did not surprise God, anything that has happened. Nothing ever surprises God. He is eternal. Can I just go ahead and give you a little sneak peek in tomorrow? He's already there. Our God is everywhere. I'm telling you, dear friend, when we adopted Asher, we were in Taiwan, and they are 12 hours ahead, or 14, I can't remember, one of the two, but they were 12 hours, half a day ahead of us here in America. And so we were FaceTiming, and we were in the hotel, and we FaceTime our kids, Annalie and Deuce, and my nephew and my niece were over there with them. And so it was Friday morning, and it was Thursday night here. And my cousin, my nephew Alex, he was looking, and he said, Uncle Chad, why is it daylight over there? I said, well, buddy, it's Friday morning, and I could see him. He said, you're in the future? Hey guys, our God was in the past. Our God is here now, and our God is already tomorrow. He is an eternal God. He's a personal God. He's an eternal God. It means he's immutable. It means he does not change. Listen, he could not change for the better because he would not have been God back then. And he can't change for the worse or he wouldn't be God now. He never changes. There's no God like our God. Oh, I want to come up and sing "There's No God Like Jehovah." There's no God like our God because there's no other God. Please understand that. Well, Pastor, I got a son that's an atheist. Or I got a daughter that's an atheist. I got this. No, hey, listen to me, dear friends. Those are cop-outs. They're cop-outs. They believe in something. They're believing in the God that they're making. You keep, can I tell you this, parents? And I know because some of you have, some of you have kids who are professing atheists. Can I just say this? Keep living Jesus with skin on in front of them. Keep praying for them to the only God that hears your prayer, and that's our God. Keep showing them the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me say, you say, Pastor, would they come back? I don't know. I'm not God. But I do know this. I was talking to someone today. The single greatest important decision anybody will ever make in their life is to give their life to Jesus. And that one decision I can't do for my kids. It kind of breaks my heart sometimes, man. I'm like, oh my goodness, the most important decision they'll ever make, I can't do it for them. But I tell you what I can do. I can go before God on their behalf, and I can pray and plead and beg God to do something mighty and believe he will do it. And listen to me. Listen to me, dear friends. It will not. Some people say, well, how can God create some people to go to heaven and create some people to go to hell, and all this, you have all this Reformed theology versus Arminian theology and Calvinism and all this kind of stuff. You say, where do you stand on that, Pastor? Can I just be honest with you? Just hear me. Because somebody says, well, I think a person can be born homosexual. I think a person can be born with homosexual tendencies. Understand, just like I can be born with a tendency to go after alcohol, I can be born with a tendency to do this. We're all born with tendencies to sin, but no one is born an abomination that they cannot be saved out of by the grace of God. And so here's what I think. I believe that whosoever, blacks, whites, red, yellow, black and white, Democrat, Republican, independent, I don't care. If the gospel is preached and the Spirit convicts, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the word of God. Number three, finally. Our God is a personal God. Our God is an eternal God, and our God is a special God. Our God is a special God, and he's special in three different ways, and I want you to hang with me here, okay? Oh, my word. Okay. Hey, can I just say this? I love preaching the word of God. I love preaching about the God of the word. Amen. He's an incredible God. You know what breaks my heart today? There's a lot of pastors today who have something to say because of what happened in the Supreme Court. I'm thankful I got something to say because of what happened up in heaven many years ago when he sent his son to die and gave us the word of God. Amen? Amen. If everything was all peaceful, what would you preach, Pastor Chad? I tell you what I'd preach. I'd preach when everybody says, peace, peace, get ready, sudden destruction. I'd preach Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right, here we go. The God of creation is the special God. Number one, in power. How is he special? He's special in power. He's special in power. Now, here we go. In the beginning, God created. God created. It's the Hebrew word bara. Remember, it's a singular form. He created. The subject of that verb is always God. The subject of the word bara, created, is always God. It is only God who is capable of creating. You hear that? It is only God. The word bara means to bring into existence that which does not previously exist. It is technically called creation ex nihilo. It means creation out of nothing. It means one moment there was nothing, the next moment there was everything. Dr. E.V. Hill said, the great black preacher that went to heaven, he said, the Lord God stepped out from behind the curtain of nowhere upon the platform of everything and spoke the world into existence. Yes. Hey, listen, there's another word that will be used sometimes in Genesis 1, and it's the word made. And what it means is this. It's the Hebrew word asah, A-S-A-H. It means to make. Bara means to create something out of nothing. The word asah means to make. It means to take existing materials and make something out of those materials. Because some people say, well, I created this. Do you know that there is not one single thing in the history of mankind they ever created? Only God can create. You say, well, I made this. You made it out of what? Yeah. You made it out of something that God had already created. Right. You made something. The potter makes the pot. Hey, listen, he does it. He has to take the clay that God already made. Right. I'm telling you, dear friends, I want you to listen. And I was hoping I'd have time to read this. And even if I didn't, I was going to take a little. But I want y'all to listen to this. I want you to listen to Job 26. Job 26, just listen to Job 26. But Job answered and said, how have you helped him who is without power? How have you saved the arm that has no strength? How have you counseled one who has no wisdom? And how have you declared sound advice to many? To whom have you uttered words? And whose spirit came from you? The dead trembled, those under the waters and those inhabiting them. Sheol is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne, and he spreads his cloud over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters and the boundary of the light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding he breaks up the storm. By his spirit he adorned the heavens, and his hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Listen to this. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. Did y'all hear? The mere edges of his ways. And how small a whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Can I just say this? Are y'all listening to me? My daddy, at this very moment, he doesn't know the mere edges of him. He knows him fully. He's seen his face, but it's going to take all of eternity to get to know our God. I'm telling you, our God is a special God in power. Woo, he's a good God. Number two, we got it through. Come on now. Number two, in power, but he's a special God in purpose. All throughout Genesis 1, he said this, and God created, but then he would say this, and it was good. He would see it, and he would say, it was good. Here's what that meant. That meant it was good for man. God created the universe to be inhabited by man. I want to prove this. God created the universe to be inhabited by man. Psalm 48, verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who performed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I'm the Lord and there is none other. Right. Right. Oh my goodness. Did y'all hear that? This world was created for his glory, for his purpose, and for our good. Listen to this. Listen to what Dr. John Phillips said. The God who is the creator, the God who says, I'm the Lord and there is none else, says he created this universe and this earth to be inhabited. That means God created this universe for you and for me. Think about how ideal our earth is for human existence. It lets us know that it has been designed specifically for human habitation. Take the very size of the earth. If the earth were larger or if it were smaller, human life could not exist. Think about the rotation of the earth. If it rotated faster or slower, there could be no human existence. Think about the distance of the earth from the sun. If it were closer, we would be burned to a crisp. If it were further away, we would freeze. It is exactly right for human habitation. God says, I have created this universe for a purpose, and that purpose is for your good.
Yes, that's right.
He did it for his good, for our good, but he did it for his glory. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist that were created. I'm telling you, dear friends, Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. When the trees lift their branches, they're saying praise the Lord. When the planets rotate around its orbits, they're saying praise the Lord. The beautiful rivers are saying praise the Lord. Yet man refuses to praise the Lord. God help us indeed. I'm telling you, dear friends, I got up yesterday morning, me and Asher went out and started pulling weeds out of the flower bed, and I started saying, praise the Lord. But I was pulling those weeds, but I'm telling you, that cool, crisp June, late June summer air, and I was like, whoa, there's a creator. But can I tell you this? Even when it's 115, there's a creator. I'm telling you, the Bible says that the heavens declare the handiwork of the Lord. There is a creator, and his name is God. Lastly, he's special in purpose. He's special in power. He's special in promise. Do you know that the Hebrew word for earth, the root word of that word literally means to love? To love. So God's creation is a loving demonstration. It's a demonstration of his love for you and for me. Every time you see anything that is created on this earth, it is God saying, I love you. You think about that, dear friends. I love you. Every time you look at one of God's creations, he's saying, I love you. So here's what some people say. Pastor, what about the people living in the jungles of Africa or in Southeast Asia or down in Central America, and they've never heard about Jesus? Did you not hear what I just said? All of creation is saying, I love you. Somebody says, what about the innocent man living in so-and-so? Oh, I don't know. Have you not read your Bible? There are no innocent people.
Yes.
There are no innocent people. We've all like sheep gone astray. We're all sinners. And we know, listen, God will reveal enough for them to know him. And it's up to them whether or not to accept it. And so here's what I want to do. I want to finish with these verses. Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. Here's what I asked Pastor Travis to do. I said, I want us to sing, I don't know how you're going to do it, but put them together some way. I want us to sing two great songs. One an old hymn, one a modern hymn, you might as well say. How great thou art, and then how great is our God. And so that's going to be the invitation song. But before we get to the invitation songs, I want you to hear these scriptures. Because when God, way back in Genesis 1, when God created, he had a purpose. And I want you to listen to this. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. So David is saying, man, when I even just consider. Then he goes on to say, how could you be mindful of me? So he puts himself, listen, where he belongs. You see, Satan is Satan today. Because he wanted to exalt himself above God. Mankind, if we're not careful, we do the same thing. We put our rights above what we really deserve. And so now I want you to hear 1 Peter 4:19. It's talking about suffering, but it says, when you suffer, do so as to a faithful creator. So when I think of what you've done, I'm going to suffer, man. So in your suffering, remember, though, he's still a faithful creator. Oh, listen to me. Please hear me. When you suffer, and some of you are suffering physically, some of you are suffering financially, whatever kind of suffering you're doing, you're going through it right now. But remember this, you were not made for this world. God created this world for us to inhabit. He sent his son to die, to redeem us, but to save us for another place, man. We don't belong down here. We're going to go to our resting place one day. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Listen, so here's what he said. The God who created, who made the light to shine. The God who called day, and night, night. The God who told the sea you can only go that far. The God who created everything. He said, He's the one who's going to shine the light in your heart to reveal your need of Jesus. Some of you in this room, we had 3 students this past week at camp understand their need for Jesus and pray and receive Christ. It was incredible, man. It was so awesome. Some of you today know that the light of Jesus is shining in your hearts and you need Jesus, which leads me to the last one. Listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He, she is a new creation. New creation. Old things pass away. Behold, everything becomes new. Everything becomes new. And so here's my question to you today. Folks, some of you are sitting here, you're wondering, oh, Pastor, what's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to the church? And let me tell you what's going to happen to America. America will cease to exist one day. Did y'all hear what I just said? America will cease to exist. This world is going to cease to exist. But your soul will live for eternity somewhere. So can I say this? Let's get prepared for the somewhere. And when you get prepared for the somewhere, it'll help you now anywhere. It'll help you anywhere. And so you know why? You know why I still got my Bible out and read it and loved Jesus and gave him thanks and kissed my kids and said, Lord, whatever my lot, I've found this to say it is well. It is well with my soul. You know why I can do that? Because 17 and a half years ago, I accepted the price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. So now I'm saved. So no matter what happens to me down here, listen, I have but one purpose. And that is to give him glory and to make disciples of all nations. Now, do I want to stand up for the Christian right and all that? Yes, we'll do that. But understanding this, never let any of that get in the way of you winning someone to Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if it's not the Supreme Court passing a decision like that, it'll be another decision. But we've seen this posted a lot. Praise God, there's a higher court one day. And there's only one judge. Oh, I'm quitting. But just listen about this judge. Listen what's incredible about this judge. This judge got off his throne, clothed himself in humanity flesh, bled and died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and now is seated back on the throne. My judge, listen, you say, that sounds like it's a fixed case. It is. Yeah. It's fixed. So we got to introduce everybody we can to that judge. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I am so thankful, God, that today you're not in panic. And God, since the head of the church is not in panic, the church, the body of the church should not be in panic. God, we get our orders from you. And Lord, we would rather please you than please man. We're going to fear God than fear man. And so Jesus, give us wisdom. Give the leaders of this nation wisdom. Surround them with believers who are bold. God, if one day in the future, and it probably will, get us thrown in jail or whatever, then God, let us do like the Apostle Paul and make disciples anywhere we go. Jesus, help us as a church not to panic. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here today and you've never been saved, listen, you've never been saved. I'm begging you, dear friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, right now, you could pray what three students prayed at this week at camp. You could pray something like this to yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost, but I want to be saved. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and save my soul. Please forgive me of all my sins and come get me when it's time to come home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, there's going to be two men in the stairwell. There's going to be people down front. Go to one of them and just say something like this. I prayed with Pastor. I gave my life to Jesus. We want to talk to you about that. But if you want to join this church, you want to become a part of a team that's going to stand firmly on the Word of God, you come and join up with Ridgecrest. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand, you come on.